At the Track is back for another week here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Peter Klein with you guys again today. Let's get right into it. Very pleased to be joined by our first guest. He is Fred Gillis, the Executive Director of the ASHA. Fred, how are you today?
I'm good, Peter. I'm just in my office plugging away, but I'm doing good.
Now, can you just, first of all, we'll start right with the basics. Describe to our listeners who the ASHA is and their goals and sort of mandates.
Okay. It stands for the Alberta Standardbred Horse Association, which is a non-profit membership-based, I guess, standardbred association. And we try to encourage and ensure like cooperative effort in all the matters pertaining to the protection of the standardbred horse in Alberta. We represent and protect the best interests of the standardbred industry participants, bring about better understanding, closer understanding relationship with the members. We liaise with racetracks to try and set up race dates, contracts, stuff like that. We have representatives on Horse Racing Alberta, which is the governing body. So we do quite a bit in the year. We set up the calendar, the stakes, the schedules, the breeding. We set up a lot here, but it's mostly membership-based, like the board of directors. 11 people are made up of a cross-section of breeders, owners, and trainer-drivers of standardbred racehorses in the province.
Now, when it comes to the membership, how many members are there? And obviously, the A stands for, or the first one anyway, stands for Alberta. But do we let in outsiders on this one too, or how does that work?
We do. We probably have, I'm going to say, 90% of the membership, maybe it could be 85 to 90, would be Alberta residents.
Okay.
But in the standardbred industry, like in, say, starting mid-April till August, we'll have an influx of trainers and residents of BC, their meet finishes, and so some of them will migrate here and they join our association. So we have members, I'd say, anywhere in Canada west of Quebec.
Okay.
Members of the association, but predominantly 85 to 90% is Alberta.
Charity is a big part of what the ASHA supports anyway. Tell us about the Fun for Fans program and how the charities it supports are chosen.
It's pretty neat. It's been going 9 years. I took a gentleman to lunch one day 9 years ago, Bill Andrew, who's the president of our association, told him about this dream, and he gave me a horse. He paid all the bills and let me give away half the money. Her mare was, the name was Starring Role, and she actually had a Facebook page before the year was over. We gave away $25,000 that first year on half of her. She just overachieved, I guess. She had quite a following. And since then, it's kind of grown. Each January, the groups that I've had that support it, I try to keep, and then we open the door if there's room for any other groups that might apply. We've had quite a bit of fun from volunteer fire departments to the Stollery Children's Hospital in Edmonton. We have the Boys and Girls Club in Airdrie, seniors group. Gosh, it goes on and on. We just, minor hockey teams that weren't the group's fundraisers weren't doing so good. They'd come out with their jersey tops on, and I'm just cheer like crazy for the horse. And that's the only gimmick to it. There is no, you don't have to bet, eat, drink, smoke, or do anything, but you must come out and you must cheer on the horse, and then I give them 75% of 90% because the other 10% goes to the driver and trainer, but 75% of the horse's earnings, and it's a monthly thing. You have the horse for a month, which is usually 3 to 4 races.
Wow. Okay, now shifting gears a little bit, you guys work closely with the Century Group. Describe that relationship.
Without sounding or anything, it's probably the best relationship we've had with management in Alberta in my 10-plus years at ASHA as executive director. They've come in. They were a gaming company. They didn't know much about racing. They hired a gentleman to manage the racing, Paul Reinveld. He came with a thoroughbred background, but an open mind. And I think I've liked him since the first meeting. I've never changed my mind on that. I think he'll do almost any initiative if it heads towards, you know, driving revenue and handle and Been very open. Has an open door policy with me. I can't be happier with them. I mean, they know that we're in an industry where you have to work harder, and I think they do, and I think we do, and maybe that's why the relationship is good.
Chatting with Fred Gillis, the executive director of the ASHA here on At the Track at Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Tell our listeners about the stakes program.
Well, it's divided into actually three segments.
Okay.
One segment, which we're very much behind, are the horses born and bred in Alberta. They're called Alberta Sire Stakes. And so, you know, the breeders go out and select these quality mares. A lot of the breeders try and buy stallions to stand in the province. They'll have the baby, raise it, rear it up through, and put it in a yearling sale when it's about, you know, 16 or 17 months old, 18 months old. And then, you know, it's for open auction. The people that buy them horses, they would then have to pay $100 the following April as a two-year-old to keep them eligible for the stakes. I believe, I'm going back here, the breeders must pay $25 as a one-year-old to keep them eligible for these Alberta Sire Stakes. And then $100 as a two-year-old, and then you would pay another $100 as a three-year-old. And there is $1 million a year that goes between two-year-olds and three-year-olds and by sex. So it's a pretty good program. It's geared to build the breed in the province. To know that you have, if you make an investment, you have a chance to get your money out. It has a lucrative pot at the end. We race three races through the year. You gain points or money depending on your age. And then we have a final for $80,000 towards the end of the year in November that you've earned your way in. It doesn't cost you anything to get into it. So that's the Alberta Sire part. Then we have an open stake, which we have two actually now that go for $125,000, two for the boys, two for the girls, three-year-olds. And anybody in the world can nominate and sustain to them and ship out here and race in them. And it's been growing the last couple of years. We're getting pretty good support. We're getting farms in Ohio and California and Ontario and New York paying their $10 to keep their horse eligible before they go to a public sale in the States or in Ontario. So it's growing. It's getting some awareness. And third one would be horses that are owned, sired or foaled in Alberta. So if an Ontario person had a stallion that was standing in Alberta and bought one of the babies, it would be eligible to these stakes. Also, Alberta owners that would go to Ontario and buy a horse and bring it back, as long as it is owned, sired, or foaled in the province of Alberta at time of the nomination for the stake.
Another important event ASHA is involved with is the annual yearling sale in September. Just for our listeners, describe this event and the effort it takes to put on something like that.
It's actually quite a bit. We have a staff of three. There's two girls here with me, and the one lady does most of the work on it, but it's a matter of people nominating their yearlings to the sale first, so we have an idea how many. Then you have to rent the facility, hire your auctioneer. We hire a pedigree reader because we want to give the people that put the horse in the sale the best benefit of explaining all of their pedigrees and breeding. The auctioneer, then you have to hire staff for bringing the yearlings from their stalls into a walking ring and then into a sales ring. We have special girls. We have a bid board person. Then you have to go set it all up. And then the two girls that were, I call them girls or ladies, that work for me, they do a heck of a job. They go there and administer it. The one girl does the bookkeeping and payments when you leave. The other one does all the paperwork for the owners. So it's quite an operation. All the folks ship in from all over. You see, we have a sale here at our sale. All over Alberta, they go to that sale. And, you know, they're expecting to do as good as they can. So, you know, I'm pretty proud of the job we do putting the sale on. I think we're as good as anyone. We have MLAs come. We have a lot of people from the community come. And we usually serve a free lunch, and whether you buy a horse or not, or try to. But it is a lot of work, you know, not to make it sound that it isn't. It is quite a bit, but it's what we do.
Now, for you personally, you have made the transition from trainer-driver now into this current role that you currently hold with the ASHA. How's that transition been like for you, going from the trainer-driver days into your current role?
Well, it's kept me in the industry, but it is a different world. I was not ready for it, and I guess I was lucky, Peter. I had some tremendous people on the board that encouraged me and helped me along till I had, you know, enough confidence in myself. But it is different. I got to go along and drive along with Premier Ralph Klein and talk and met people because I'm in this position, ministers and different things that you sometimes don't have the confidence in yourself when you start, but I found out that they're, most of them are just people like you and I, and if you sit down and have a conversation, you can get some stuff done. And I told them, okay, one-on-one. I can get my point across without, I don't have any bad relationships with any of the organizations. I get along with most of them. So, but there's a job to do. The board, you know, gives you a mandate of things you want to accomplish, and you do it. Whereas driving and training, you're out there on your own trying to apply your trade the best you can for yourself.
What was one of the things that kind of caught you off guard about the different role? Like, what was kind of the, oh, I'm not in Kansas anymore type of moment for you?
The day you step into the office and you say you're proud of yourself, you think you can do it, and you know, you put in your thing, you were interviewed, and you got it. Now you step in the office and, oh my gosh, what do I do? You have to run the funding for the whole year. You can't be out, Peter, or you run out of money, and you know, you have to track everything. And be the sales and the stuff, and it's nonstop. Like, it goes around the year. And I, like I said, I was pretty lucky. I had a lot of questions the first while, and I had some very good people helping me along with it.
If any of our listeners today want to get into owning a horse and getting into the training and the driving, how would they go about making that happen?
Well, one, they certainly could call this office. You know, we'd explain to them all the pros and cons of the whole thing. It's not secretive, you know, it's open. I think a lot of people, if they get to that stage, then should kind of visit with some of the trainers and talk to them and just see if they have a liking for them. We can show them the stats for the trainers, you know, that have the horses. Selection of the horse has to be with someone that's knowledgeable and that you feel you have a trust in. You know, it's a big game, but it's one of the most exciting around as far as I'm concerned. I've been in it for over 50 years, and it's a pretty exciting game. I mean, and an owner can come down on the weekend and put a helmet on and actually go exercise his own standardbred, which is unique in that breed. It's hard to do it with a, you know, quarter horse or a thoroughbred to go do it, but some of the owners can come down, and it's kind of a, you know, it's a buzz for them. You know, they own the horse and watch it race and everything, but they can be hands-on to some extent too. And go over in the grandstand, if the horse race is real good and he's first or second, well, I exercise him, really, you know, he's... So it's a lot of stuff, and people don't realize how exciting it is until they actually come down and you know, visit and try it and watch it. And it really is. It's a lot of hardworking people in the Baxters that raise families. Sometimes racing used to get the white picket fence thing, and that is so far from the truth that they're just people making a living and working hard. You know, they get a day off a week if they're lucky. And but it's a great game. Owners come down, they like to participate. I've seen millionaires go in and clean stalls, Peter, just because it's something that they're not normally doing, and they want to do it.
Well, Fred, this has been a real fun conversation. Could go for a while longer, but we're right up against it. Thanks for doing this today, and hopefully we'll chat again soon.
Thanks again, Peter.
So there is Fred Gillis. Time for us to take a break here on At the Track. When we come back, we hear from our Century Downs Track Insider. This is At the Track on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. At the Track continues here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Very pleased to be joined by our next guest. He's been a guest on this show every week, just not with me. So happy to chat with Don McDougall today, our Century Downs Track Insider. Don, how are you today?
Excellent, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. Again, happy to finally get to chat with you on the program here. We've had you on every week just with you and Pat instead of you and I. So let's go to the beginning here, your role with the ASHA and why you decided to get involved with them.
Well, I've been an owner of standardbred horses for quite a few years. It goes back further than I want to tell anybody. Actually kind of dates and ages me a little bit. So we'll talk about the most recent stint. But I got a little bit more aggressively involved when I kind of took a step back from work and just doing a little bit of consulting and other things on the side. So I've always had a little bit of a business, and in the last couple of years, a little bit of marketing and website and kind of media side to the jobs that I was doing. So a couple people at ASHA, horse owners and other people on the board had approached me to get involved. And when I decided to get involved, it was, I only really do things if I can get into them in a decent way and feel like I can make a difference. So I kind of saw a need in Asha. There was lots of great people who had lots of great ideas about what to do with the horses themselves and racing programs. But there was another segment that I thought I could maybe add a little bit of value to. So I thought that that was really a good entry point for me to find a place where I really felt like I could do something different than what some other people had done.
When you see that, how long had that been stewing? Was that something that you'd been thinking of for a while, and then there was something that was kind of a straw that broke the camel's back with that? Or how did that part come out?
Not really. I mean, I'm sure you've been involved with different sports and things all your life. And if I've got a mind that I end up at night till 2 or 3 in the morning. And that's usually when I do my best thinking. Somebody calls me at 8 o'clock in the morning, they should just ignore anything that I say. But a lot of different nights, you kind of think, racing is a really cool sport and not too many people know about it. In the old days, people used to know about it. So with a couple of young people involved in the industry, we'd been kicking back and forth some different ideas to try to use over the last couple of years. And then when the chance to get on the board was kind of presented to me, I thought, well, I mean, it's as good a time as any to try to make it work. And with the new Century Mile track opening and Century Downs trying to pick up speed, I thought it was kind of a perfect time to try to make an effort into these areas.
You mentioned Century Downs there. Tell me a little bit about the partnership between Asha and Century Downs.
Century Downs really does the operational side. So they do all of the setup. They provide the facility. They provide the barns. They provide the grandstand, obviously, people to sell tickets and different sides. So they're kind of more on the racing promotion side, where Asha, in the past, we've always been involved in providing all the horses, drivers, all the equipment that's needed to actually physically run the races. And over the last while, there's some really good people at Century Downs, and Paul Reinfeld and his team are excellent to work with them. And we've created a really good partnership between the two associations where we kick ideas back and forth between the two of us freely. They're willing to take a shot at a lot of things that nobody has been in the past. And if they don't work, throw them into file G, and the ones that do work, continue on with. So it's worked out to be really good between the two of us. We kind of both know what we're good at, but we're both willing to add a few ideas here and there on both sides.
And then you two get involved with us here at the Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Tell us how that all came together.
Well, we were thinking about a bunch of different ways to expose the product. And I'm a huge listener to sports radio. A lot of times during the summer before I do my radio hits, I'd be listening into the last segment and try to make fun of either Will or Pat, whoever I was talking to at the point, just based on what they were talking about. There's a great following to it. Is it the perfect for horse racing as of yet? Not sure, but we'd been doing small bits of radio advertising with some of the other stations, country stations and stuff. And I really thought with the racing aspect, with the betting aspect, and a couple other people in the backstretch were pushing along for this too. You guys need local content, and there's a lot more local content in racing than what most people know about. So I thought it was definitely something to take a shot at. It's definitely a target market of people that we'd like to get to know a lot more about the sport. So in my mind, it's definitely the avenue we needed to go along.
Now, another way to help grow things along with Asha specifically is work in social media. Explain to me what kind of changes have been made there.
Well, we started off, Asha had small pages on Facebook and Twitter, and it was done basically by the office staff who do a fantastic job, but obviously they have a lot of things to do during the day other than updating social media sites. So I in the past, in a couple other volunteer organizations and in one occupation that I was doing, we created teams of people. So we called this our social media committee. And we went out to a bunch of the younger people in the industry. We advertised it through our website and found 4 people from different aspects of the industry that we put together to actually put a push on growing numbers, having a few more events and contests, both on Twitter and Facebook. And they also went another step and created an Instagram account, which we'd never had before. Horse racing has a tendency for the people in it are a little bit older, maybe not quite as technology savvy, but there's a good group of young people coming into standardbred racing right now who have a lot of interest. Obviously, they're trying to create a career for the rest of their lives, but they're way more tech savvy than some of the people were in the past. And with my experience on doing it in other industries, we thought it was a real good time to try to take advantage of these, do a little bit of partnership with Century and try to get the numbers up. So we're getting our message out to a few more people.
Now, we're going to do a bit of a word association here with working on growing the sport a little bit. The first word would be education.
So the standardbred industry, people have the tendency to watch a couple thoroughbred races on TV, but standardbreds are completely different. That's why I've had so much fun talking with Will and Pat and yourself and other different people about the industry over the summer. There's so many different things in the industry, from the bikes themselves, how racing goes on, about the horses, how to get involved. When you're trying to get an interest back into a sport, to me, people have to know what it is. So educating them on the whole process of it was really important. It was something that had really been lost in the years past. But over the last couple of years, we're really trying to work on getting people to understand it. We've got a lot of things planned to do with Century. We had a women's only seminar at Century this spring, which we're planning to do on a yearly basis, but also try to do it for other aspects so people get a chance to see a lot more about the sport and kind of find out the reasons why it's a pretty cool occupation. If you want to try to get into it to make a living, but also just to know more about.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment is obviously the side that most people go there for. For a night out, if you're going to go to a downtown club, bar, restaurant, you walk into one of those areas and you know by the end of the night you're going to come out with a pretty hefty bill and maybe a little bit of a hangover the next day. It depends on what people are into. So from the aspect of going to the races, Century Downs has fantastic food. There's obviously beverages of all different kind, adult or non-adult beverages available there. But it's a place that you could go into with maybe $50 or $100 and actually, through some astute investing, maybe come out with more money than you actually went into it. I don't know of any time I've ever gone into a bar or a club and come out with more money than I went into it with. So there's that part of it. But there's also a lot of excitement behind actually being involved in the industry. Going to the winner's circle with a horse, there's nothing like it. You really can't explain it until you actually own part of a horse and do it. So there's entertainment on about three or four different sides in the industry that once people get there for a night, I've rarely seen a person come out there who didn't say they had a good time.
Now, obviously, there's a lot of focus on the here and now, but there's a lot of looking for the future as well. I'm imagining a lot of 2018 is spent looking toward 2019, which is where we are now. What can we expect for new projects for the social media side of things?
Well, we're definitely going to build on what we've done over the past year, obviously try to grow our numbers. But what we're trying to do is do it in a slightly different way. We're also going to work on having media sites available. One of the things I think is the toughest in the industry is trying to find out about who any of the people that are involved in the sport, trainers, drivers, officials, anybody that's involved in it. So one of the big things, now that we've actually got our sites up and functioning fairly well, we're going to try to work on sites for each individual so that, and we haven't decided whether they're going to be Facebook sites or websites, but we're going to try to get it to the point where people know a little bit more about these people. If you went to a hockey or football game and you didn't know anything about the people, you'd probably have a pretty boring time. You'd like what was going on the event, but most people like to know a little bit about the participants to it. So I think what we're going to do on that side, on the media side, is try to get the people a lot more exposure and to work on ways so that fans or interested parties, when they go to it, can actually find out a little bit more and maybe make a little bit more educated wagers when they're looking at it, just based on knowing the trainers and drivers a little bit more.
What about special event days at Century Downs and Century Mile?
And we're trying to do a lot of different things. So we're trying to combine them with not just giveaways, but we're also trying to do experiences for people so that they actually get a chance to experience the whole day. As an example, when we had the fan classroom giveaway, we got a chance to take people back to the backstretch, meet a couple of the horses, go back to the area and see the whole atmosphere of what a participant in the industry would know. So we're trying to do a few more things like that. We're also trying to partner with some local sports teams. I'm working pretty hard on trying to put together a joint event between the Stampeders and horse racing during their training camp season, where we get a few of them to come out on a Sunday. We actually have each race named after one of the Stampeders. We draw for a jersey in the winner's circle afterwards. So we're trying to do small partnerships with not only sports organizations, but obviously charitable organizations. We're working on a charity pacing series and to get the drivers involved with a few more of the charities. But basically working on different groups of people being attracted to come out to Century Downs and to watch the event. Once they come out, we rarely have trouble getting them back. It's just majorly getting them out and understanding what's going on. So it's kind of a couple of things that we're leaning towards.
Now, this puts an end to year one of the partnership with us. Obviously, a few things up in the air and a few things still left to be decided, but happy with how things have gone with us year one. What's the report card for us?
Yeah, absolutely, Peter. I couldn't be happier between obviously the job you've done with these interviews over the last few weeks since you've taken over. Pat and Will, both Logan and Riley and people in the back, and Sasha, who came out to Century Downs a couple times, I think the people are excellent. You guys really know what you're doing. You've got a little bit of youth to you, so there's excitement to it. And it's kind of fun educating some new people in an industry that they really don't know all that much about. Pat seems to be a little bit more of a degenerate, so he seems to understand the betting side of it a little bit more. But I've had every person who's had interviews with you guys or talked to you guys has had nothing but good things to say about it. So far the experience has been excellent.
Well, it's been great on this side too. It's a sport and an industry I was kind of looking for an in with anyway, so was thrilled to get this opportunity. Hopefully not the last for sure, but Don, this has been a pleasure, sir. Thank you for doing this today, and thank you for all the work you've been putting in. You've been an absolute godsend in putting this show together the last few weeks that we've been doing it. So thank you to you, and thank you for doing this today.
Absolutely, Peter. I completely enjoy it. Look forward to working with all you guys in 2019.
So there we go, Don McDougall putting a bow on the show today. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. Thank you to Don, who has been instrumental in putting this show together. That's going to do it for At the Track. This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan.